What is next? Christ has risen, but what is next? Our youth are graduating, but what is next? Mini missions are nearly done, but what is next? We are aware of hundreds of people who have died in Sri Lanka, aware of the earth which is struggling to survive, aware of the thousands of people who live without a home every day. But what is next? Although stories, cycles of life, and goals all seem to have an ending, this does not mean our tale is over. Rather, we are entering into a transitional time where we, as humans, start to ask, what is next? Before we begin, though, would you pray with me? God, please be our guide once more as we enter into a world of transitional spaces and time. Please let your call fall upon our hearts and upon the hearts of all people. May the words of my lips and the meditations on all of our hearts be a joy to you and to those who are gathered here today. Last week, when our 10 o'clock service ended, I went home and slept. I was exhausted from the emotional drain and of engaging the story of Holy Week. Now, this is not a complaint, and I would actually like to lift this story up as a story that is life-giving for a Christian who is able to fully enter into the story of Christ's passion. If you have not been able to attend all of the services during Holy Week, I would suggest it for next year. For to me, it felt like the culmination of a good book, which leaves you emotionally fulfilled and drained at the same time. A book you cannot put down, or like a TV show, which you cannot help but binge on until the wee hours of the morning. Not that I would ever do that. The truth is, we come to endings in our world, like the ending of high school or college, the ending of a school year or a church year, the ending of a life like when Jesus died and was resurrected as a fully divine Christ. We also come to endings of relationships, careers, political campaigns, or reports, which conclude but leave us feeling much the same way, drained and exhausted, lost and unsure of where to go to next. Sometimes for the good, like with Christ, and sometimes for the bad, like some of our political institutions. Even in the life of this church, there will come an end to mini missions, to a particular GBIO mission, to the Pride March mission, until the next year or the next event. These endings can leave us with a sense of loss, a sense of aimlessness, a sense of depression, as we are plunged into a time of transition, wondering, what is next? Now, this all seems pretty broad. I mean, I seem to be all over the place, but the reality is Christ revealed a very broad answer to the question of what is next. In the last 5 verses of the Gospel according to Matthew, after the resurrection, after Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go running off to tell the disciples the good news, after the disciples head to the mountain to where Christ is to meet them, we discover what is next. We discover that God's mission is now placed onto these 11 disciples. And this is called the Great Commissioning. Although these 5 verses come in the epilogue of Jesus' life, they are the prologue in the story of our church, the ink of the book which explains the church's policies, structures, and organization. This mission is why we are disciples entwined through the baptism of the Holy Trinity. These verses are the reason why Christians evangelize, teach, and minister to people. These verses are the basis for the church which will be born at Pentecost. So when we think of what is next, let us think of God's mission. But perhaps the idea of mission does not seem like it would fit all instances. But I believe it might. If we think of mission as those things we are passionate about, the mission God has put in your hearts which burns to be heard, which yearns to be taught, which calls to be shared. This way of helping our fellow human beings is what we can always fall back upon, whether we are lost, sad, or disappointed. The mission which God calls us to is our nightlight to read by when we share God's love with the world. Yet God's mission is too large for any one person to do alone, which is why God gave this mission to his disciples, to all of us who became disciples, to the church which we would become. We simply cannot help everyone by ourselves. We would become overwhelmed and not be able to help anyone. Even people we consider saints in this world, like Mother Teresa, has a very specific mission. Her mission was to care for the sick. So we simply cannot share the life that God gave us and learn everything about 1K outreach, about inner city school needs, and Common Cathedral, and immigration, and food insecurity, etc., etc., etc. The reality is, no one person can affect change in every part of God's mission. Yet, we can affect change together. As the universal church, when we seek to choose, learn, and share the part of God's mission being spoken through us. This idea is why we have friends like a very dear person I know. Her name is Leslie. She's extraordinarily well-versed in the mission of the environment. She has studied to be a marine biologist in Maine and can explain why the tsunami in Japan reshaped our weather patterns. She can explain how the change of sea currents is actually reshaping our storm patterns. She can explain how the lack of snow this year is actually going to be detrimental to our future. She understands how these aspects all affect our changing climate before we even talk about the environmental issues on the land. The ocean is her part of the mission as she goes into the world trying to make it better. Now, instead of delving into that part of the mission with her, I chose to listen and learn from her teachings, so I could become more informed about the environment. With this in mind, I hope most of you have selected a part of God's mission which is close to your heart, something which calls to you, like the poor in the Appalachian Mountains, or racial inequality, feminist, male, or LGBTQ+ rights, or perhaps even human equality, food insecurity, gun violence, or concerns in Nicaragua. I hope each person here has thought about at least one part of God's mission, chosen one part of the mission, become a learner of one part of the mission, which they wish and are able to teach. For this idea of mission is what comes next as we are recreated as a church in Pentecost. We are called once more to share God's mission of love through our outreach. However, choosing a mission is so important. It is not enough to fully engage with God's mission. We must also be able to teach, so we must continue to learn. This area is where I have failed recently. Because the part of God's mission which is calling to me is the mission against domestic violence. Sadly, over the last 4 years, I believe I have only preached one sermon on this subject. The last research I did is now over 3 years old, and I have not been collecting old cell phones to give to survivors of domestic violence. This said, I am quite aware that our lives sometimes push God's mission out of vision, out of our view. I cannot beat myself, and I hope none of you will beat yourself up if you have not remembered your mission recently. But now is the time in this transitioning space when we can move into remembering what is next. We can remember the light that is guiding you to God's love What part or parts of the mission are you reaching to embrace, to learn about, to teach? I would like to know, personally. I would truly like to know what part of the mission is calling to you. And I would like to know if you are willing to please share that with me today. Put it in an email or write it on one of the pew cards. Tell the mission team. Please just take a moment and do that. But if you're not ready yet, if you're not sure what your mission is, what the mission you hear calling to you, take this time in Eastertide to discern that. Listen to what God is calling you to teach, to learn about. What part of God's mission are you passionate about? Again, though, choosing a mission is not enough. We must also continue to learn and grow. Phyllis Tickle says that technical knowledge alone is doubling every 10 months. And many scholars argue that the vast amount of human knowledge is doubling every 2 years on average. Thus, over the last 4 years, I have fallen way behind on my research. 4 years ago, the research on domestic violence was primarily focused around female victims, which allowed our society to establish shelters and resources for women. Thank God, because they needed the help. However, since the Me Too movement, there has been an outpouring of knowledge about male victims of domestic violence, such as the unconfirmed report that there is only one male shelter nationwide, compared to the 3,000 female shelters for survivors of domestic violence. Although the amount of women shelters seems wonderful, if not a little low, when we realize that 1 in 3 women are affected by physical abuse. It seems like a complete failure for our society when we realize that 1 in 4 men are also affected by physical abuse. This point is not to argue that women's shelters should be lessened. Rather, I would argue for more shelters for both women and men in this country. For the research is now showing men are survivors as well. This point is all to say that the mission God calls us to is not one and done. We are called to continually learn, grow, and teach for the betterment of the whole community as we recreate the church in Pentecost by defining what is next. This said, I know I need to delve deeper into domestic violence research, making sure the research is accurate and then helping the people affected by violence in their home. This is the challenge, though, that I have for all of us. Find something you are passionate about. Let that passion move you as you learn about the topic and teach the people in this congregation about God's mission being done through you. For we can only change the world when we learn, grow, and work together to teach and love one another. This mission is the good news which Christ gave to us at the end of the gospel according to Matthew. This is the re-gift, as Stacy put it. The good news that the resurrection is not the end of the story, but rather it is only our beginning as we recreate the church to carry on with the ministry of Jesus' teachings. The mission is what Christ brought to us as he commissioned the 11 disciples, and thereby when she blessed us as disciples through our baptism. Beloved, we are a community, a library of good books, each with our own part of the mission, but incomplete without everyone else. So when we ask, what is next now that Christ is resurrected, now that our church year is ending, or now that we enter into the thousands of transitional spaces, let us remember that part of God's mission which is calling to each of us. Let that passion help us learn and let us recreate our church together as we teach the different paths to God's infinite love and mission. In God's name we pray. Amen.